Thank you. I must say I feel so honoured to be here today, sharing this baptism Sunday with Jenny and her lovely family and friends. So thank you very much for that. And what I want to do this morning, I want to look at someone today in the New Testament whose life was one of complete love for Jesus. She was committed to following him, much like Jenny is today in her baptism day. And she is taking this step of obedience today for everybody to see. I'm hoping to come actually to the swimming pool and share it as well. I hope I'm allowed to do that, am I? Yeah. And it's just like our subject that we're looking at today. And I've called my talk Committed to Jesus. And that's what she is. So let's read from John 12, 1 to 10, and see who this woman is. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, replied Jesus. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. Now, that's an amazing act of devotion, wasn't it, on behalf of Mary? And I sometimes feel, you know, that I haven't got that sort of level of devotion that Mary displayed in my life. To give completely, you know, everything for Jesus. And it's good for us today to look at this role model in the New Testament. And the lovely thing is that Mary was just an ordinary woman. She wasn't anything special. She and her family were friends of Jesus. We've read it was Lazarus and Martha and her. And Jesus used to love to come and have a meal with them from time to time. He loved his family. And do you know that by reading and talking about this story today, we are doing something that Jesus predicted. Jesus said this would happen. He says in Mark's account in chapter 14, I tell you the truth, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And here we are, thousands of years later, talking about this woman's love and devotion for Jesus. And you know what? It meant so much to Jesus. Just the same as Jenny's act of obedience and love to Jesus in her baptism means to Jesus. He's thrilled to see that today, Jenny. And it's interesting that there are two stories in the Gospels about women anointing Jesus. It's in Mark 14, John 12, and Matthew 26 that we find the first one. And I just have to say that anointing with oil was like a cultural thing that they did in their day. You know, it was a normal thing for them to do. Now we have the Mary that we're looking at today, the first one, and she is actually named. The Bible tells us who she was by name. The second thing is that she came from Bethany, which was in the south of the country. And the third thing was that Jesus was thrilled with what she did, and he praised her for her act of honour and devotion to him. The second lady was in Luke 7, and she was not named. She doesn't have a name in the Bible, but it says of her, the people said of her, where she was, that she was a woman of disrepute. And that's a euphemism for she was a prostitute. And the thing to say about her, she came from Galilee, which was right in the north, Mary of Bethany was in the south, she was in the north. And when the others around this Mary, this woman, started criticizing and judging her, Jesus commended her and showed his love and compassion towards her. And it says he forgave her. She was made completely new, completely right with Jesus. Two different Marys, but the same thing happening. But we're going to look at Mary of Bethany and we're going to see her beautiful act of spontaneous love. And we're going to look at John's account and Mark's account. Now, this incident occurs in Jesus's final week. We've heard a lot this morning about Jesus's death and burial and resurrection. This happened a week before the cross. And he stays at Bethany, which was just 2 miles from Jerusalem. In fact, we've taken a couple of teams for 2 years, and I think Richard and Kim have been as well, to the Holy Land, and we visited Bethany, and we walked from Bethany to Jerusalem, the same journey that Jesus took. It was 2 miles outside. And it happened before, you know, his triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. You remember when he rode on a donkey into Jerusalem? It also was the week before the cross. It was the week before he died, and he was having supper with his friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And he's got all that ahead of him. The disciples were there too, including Judas Iscariot, as we read. And this story is a hinge moment for Jesus and for Judas. It is a turning point for both of them. For this act of Mary, it marked the start of the journey to the cross. For Judas, it was the start of his journey of betrayal. It was a straw that broke the camel's back, this incident. Mary pouring out her love in such an extravagant way for Jesus. And he, you know, it triggers for him his resentment and his disappointment with Jesus. He wanted him to become a great big, supreme ruler, powerful and mighty, just everything, you know, in his wake being destroyed. He didn't understand it. That was what he wanted. And when Jesus is commending this woman for this act of love, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. And he's bitterly disillusioned about it all. And what I love about this story more than anything is that it's placed between the end of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. And it says in chapter 12, verse 4, that the storm clouds were gathering over Jesus. You know, Mark 14:1 says, the chief priests and teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. In John chapter 11, it says also, we have this murderous intent of the plotting of the chief priest. And in verse 4, we have the commencement of Judas's betrayal. That's all happening. You know, there's this scheming and plotting and, mischief going on. And there, smack in the middle of all that, we have Mary's devotion alongside their treachery and their cruelty. And it must probably the last act of kindness that Jesus experienced before the cross. So it's a seminal moment, this. It's an important moment. And we want to look at three things today. First of all, it was a sacrificial act of commitment by Mary. Secondly, it was selfless. And thirdly, it was so significant, this act of commitment. Three things. And you know what? I was preparing for this and I thought, you know, Jenny, this is what's happening to you today. What you're doing, you know, this demonstration of your love and obedience to Jesus, the first thing about it is a sacrifice. It's hard for us to nail our colours to the mast and say that we love Jesus, you know, publicly. The second thing about it is it's a selfless act. Richard explained to us that this is, when we are baptised, it's death to self and it's a life to God and life. And the third thing was, it was significant for Mary. It was significant for you. Because, Jenny, what you're showing is that this is a symbolic reenactment of what Jesus did. He died and he rose again to life. And that's what you are demonstrating today. So I think it's relevant. So the first thing, let's look at this sacrificial act of commitment. Then Mary took about a pint of expensive perfume and she poured it on Jesus' feet and she wiped his feet with her hair. What do we see here? We see this passionate, extravagant outpouring of love for Jesus. She couldn't help it. And she did it with a pure and acceptable motive. She wasn't looking for brownie points. She wasn't looking for the praise of the people. In fact, she got quite the opposite, as we read. But she just wanted, her focus was totally on Jesus. The second thing about it was lavish. She wasn't calculating how little she could give. I mean, the cultural thing was you just sprinkled a few drops. Not her. She gave it all. And it was probably worth about a year's wages. You can't imagine it, can you? And you know, love will always have an outlet. When we love somebody, we will show it. When we love Jesus, we will show it. It will come out from our innermost parts of our being. There's a lovely little obscure story in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11. And it's about King David. And he was, he had fled to the wilderness because of the Philistine army that was coming. And they had been victorious over his kingdom. And there he was in danger in the desert, hiding away from the Philistines. And he was there and he had a band of faithful followers with him that were there to protect him and to fight for him. And in a moment of nostalgia, he thought he was on his own. He says, I wish that I could have a drink from the well at Bethlehem, back in his home country. He didn't know, but the three of his followers, these warriors that were with him, three of them, they heard what he said. And you know what? They risked life and limb. They broke through the Philistine army. They went to Palestine. They collected water from the well. They came risking life and limb back to David and they presented their gift to him. It was a sacrifice and they loved their king so much. Mary had such love and respect for Jesus that she sacrificially gave to him. What about us? How can we do that? We can't pour oil over Jesus' feet. Do you know what? The best thing that we can do is we can give him our lives. We can give him ourselves. We can pour out our lives for him in love and devotion. We recognise that he died for us. We recognise that he loved us so much that he gave his all. And we, in response, say, Jesus, I give my all to you. And for Mary, it wasn't a foolish, unreasoned thing. It was incredibly brave. And it was rational and an intelligent choice. I don't know whether you've been watching the news this last week, but did you see the news about the American footballer? He was called Colin Kaepernick. And he has become the face of Nike. His face is plastered over every Nike advert. And there's been a tremendous hoo-ha in America from the government and from politicians and from people. Because what Colin Kaepernick did was, he was so incensed with the way in America that they just shoot to kill any black people or Afro-Americans that are wandering about the place, unarmed, they shoot them. And he wanted to make, a statement. This is not right. This is not just. You just can't go around killing people because they're black. So when the national anthem was played at this big NFL, National Football League, it's massive. It's like our Premier League and bigger, you know. He was one of their quarterbacks. And at the end of the match, beginning of the match, like we have the national anthem with our footballers, they had the Stars and Stripes, whatever it's called, And this guy, Colin Kaepernick, he knelt down. Instead of standing up like this, he knelt down because he wanted to honour his flag, but he also wanted to make a statement. Do you know what? It cost him his place in the National Football League. He will never play again for them. And this is what it says on the front. They have his face on the Nike advert. And this is what we read. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. That's what Mary of Bethany did. She believed so much in Jesus that she was willing to sacrifice the whole bottle of perfume. That's the Nike advert, I think. I think Mary of Bethany ought to be on their advertisement thing with that statement. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, we make it our goal to please him, do we? We make it our goal to please him. Our dreams and our desires and our purpose is to bring delight to you, Jesus. And so it was for Mary. And you might be thinking, yeah, that's all well and good. But you don't know my situation. I am so distracted with things. I have got disappointments in my life. I've got hardships. I've got trials. I've got things that I can't make sense of. I never expected. And I haven't got time to think about it all, you know? I can understand that completely. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus is not expecting from any of us great feats of sacrifice. Listen to what he says in Mark 14. When everybody around this woman was criticizing her and showing her up, he said, leave her alone. She did what she could. She's done a beautiful thing for me. She did what she could. Isn't that fantastic? He's not asking us to do things, you know, that are looking brilliant and are out of our ability or out of our situation or circumstances. He's not asking that of us. He loves what to others is a waste or insignificant. In the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus, there's two incidents that Jesus talks about, that Jesus is recorded, that Jesus made a note of. The first one was in the temple when people were putting their money into a big pot, much like you put your money in today, you know. And there were the religious people of the day, and they were putting in their vast sums because they could, and making a great song and a dancing about it. And then behind, secretly, came this widow. A widow who in those days had nothing. She didn't have any social benefits or anything like that. She had nothing. She dropped in two pennies. Nothing in comparison to the others. Do you know what Jesus said? He commended her. He commended her. Do you know why? Because she did what she could. The second person that came to my mind was the little boy with his packed lunch. You know, they were all so engrossed in what Jesus was saying, they forgot to bring their food and they were starving to death. And this little boy with his 5 loaves and 2 fish, he could have secretly kept it and just ate it surreptitiously, couldn't he? But he never. He gave it to Jesus, and Jesus commended him. And he performed a huge miracle on the back of it. Insignificant. She did what she could, this Mary. We do what we can. You know, Jesus understands it. That's the first point then. It was a sacrifice. The second thing, it was selfless. She got her priorities right. She wanted it all to be used on Jesus. And her focus was Jesus and not other people. She wasn't thinking about herself. She wasn't thinking about other people. She was thinking about Jesus. In verse 4 in Mark 12, it says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He used to help himself to what was put in it. He was a selfish person, and he didn't like this act of selflessness being shown to Jesus by Mary. And Mark adds, he says, they rebuked her harshly. The criticism of the people around her was like a whiplash. You know, it translates like this. They snorted at her contemptuously, and Judas was one of them. Can you imagine it? I think it's very interesting that we can notice in the Gospels, in the biographies of Jesus, that Judas never once did Judas call Jesus Lord. Never once. It's interesting that, isn't it? And anything like this that was poured out for Jesus was a complete waste. Mary was selfless. It was very, I find it very significant that the amount of money that Judas got paid for betraying Jesus was 30 pieces of silver. And we read back in the Old Testament in Leviticus, you know, the Hebrew law, that for somebody that lost a slave, either by death or, you know, by some other reason, it was like an insurance, they got compensation. Do you know how much it was? 30 pieces of silver. That's in the Old Testament. So when Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, it was like he was saying, Jesus, you're no more than a slave. I think that shows how self-thoughtful he was. And then lastly, her act of commitment that was so significant. Mary was so insightful. And in this act that she was doing, she was foretelling two things. The first one was she understood the nature of God. And the second thing was she understood completely about the cross of Jesus. So first of all, she understood the nature of God. In this lavish outpouring of this perfume all over Jesus, she was demonstrating what God is like, this God of love. And we sang, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, it fights till I'm found. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away, God. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. She was showing that in her reckless act of love. In the first letter of the disciple John, he wrote to the church in chapter 3, he says, behold, look at what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called God's children, and that is what we are. Don't have any doubt about it. When you love Jesus, when you come to Jesus, when you have your sins forgiven, as Richard has been explaining to us, you become a child of God. Marvellous. She demonstrated the magnificent generosity of God when he gave his son to die for us on the cross. His very best. He gave us his best. Romans 8 says, he, God, who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? She showed the commitment and the compassion of God towards us. The second thing she did, she demonstrated about the cross of Jesus, his death. Jesus said, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for my burial. You think, what, my burial? He wasn't even dead. What was that all about? She was foretelling the death of Jesus. She said, it's going to happen. I believe it and I know it, and it's going to, and everybody else around her was in complete ignorance and confusion about it. They didn't know, Judas particularly didn't know what was going on. And she was symbolically preparing his body for burial. She understood about the cross. Do you know, even Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, didn't get it. In Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus attempted to speak to his disciples about the cross, Peter says, it will never happen to you, Jesus. He didn't get it. He didn't understand it. So this is the beginning of the end for Jesus. As far as his death is concerned, you know, Gethsemane, the trial, the crucifixion. And Jesus knows it. And the religious leaders and Jesus are plotting and scheming. And there is this wonderful woman with her sacrificial, selfless, and significant act of commitment to him. It must have been such a strength to Jesus, One person, one woman who grasped it when everybody around didn't understand. She was getting it right when everybody else was getting it wrong. So that's it, really. Do we understand this morning? Deep down here, in our hearts, you know, the wonderful, liberating power of the cross of Jesus, like Mary did. And do we come today in love and obedience and pour out everything that we can? She did what she could, everything that we can for him in our lives. In verse 3 it says this, and I think this is marvellous. It says, the whole house was filled with the fragrance of her perfume. You know, they were all moaning and groaning, you know, but everywhere you could smell this lovely scent of devotion and kindness. And when we love Jesus and we live our lives for him, our lives will be like a scent to other people. And they'll think, oh, I want to know that Jesus too. It says in 2 Corinthians, through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him, for we are the aroma of Christ. Mary displayed that wonderful love, and for us, by pouring out our love in adoration, for giving our hearts to Jesus, for living our lives for him, we are becoming an aroma of Christ.